response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today. We are recording on Sunday night after the Phils do lose 2 of 3 to the Marlins. They lost today by a score of 5-4. Unfortunately, they do lose this series against Miami in a series where you were hoping to take 2 of 3. And that's kind of what I said coming into the series, just take 2 of 3. You definitely had the opportunities for sure. You had the opportunities today. You had the opportunity Friday night. So we're going to get into that, but also you still kind of feel good. The Eagles get a win today. Eagles get a win in week one against the New England Patriots, and a bit of a scary game. Look, the NFL is, I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent here, but just real quick, because it is week one for the NFL and the Eagles. It's the NFL. It's tough to win. So not optically great win, coming off the Super Bowl where the team was incredible last year. Doesn't look that great. But, start of the season, maybe New England's better this year. Who knows? But Eagles get the win today, 25-20 over the New England Patriots in game one this season. So, Phils, back to baseball. Phils are 78-64 on the season. Still retain the number one spot in the National League wild card race as we speak right now. Second in the NL East to the first place Atlanta Braves, who they get into a four-game set coming up tomorrow, starting out with a doubleheader, and we'll get into all of that. Simple show today. Key moments recap. Our normal game takeaways. Series takeaways will be right after that. Then we'll get into the previewing the four-game set against those Atlanta Braves tomorrow. Again, four-game set, starting at Citizens Bank Park. And then that's pretty much it. We'll update you on Rhys Hoskins, a little Rhys Hoskins update. Then we'll get to around the league, see what else is going on around baseball as well before we get you out of here. So key moments recap from today, earlier on today, or this probably will be out Monday morning, so yesterday. Well, either way, you get it. Bottom of the first, Trey Turner stays hot. 2-run bomb to make it a 2-0 game for the Fightins. Bottom of the third, Kyle Schwarber. I mean, back-to-back here. I mean, not literally back-to-back, but look, Turner hits a 2-run homer. He's hot. Kyle Schwarber, solo bomb. I mean, my gosh, he's been smoking hot. He's slugging like 3,000, it feels like. Another homer, his 43rd of the year, I believe, to make it 3-0 Phils. Top of the seventh. We're going to fast forward to the top of the seventh. By the way, throughout this game, Ranger Suarez was incredibly dominant before he gets to the seventh inning, where he gets the no-hitter broken up. And feels like it's like this sometimes. And then right after it gets broken up, Yuli Gurriel with an RBI double. Brian De La Cruz would score to make it a 3-2 game for the Marlins. The Marlins trailing. Well, they cut it the lead to 1-3-2. Nick Fortes, RBI single. Yuli Gurriel would score. It was a 3-3 game at this point. And that's when Ranger Suarez would be taken out. I believe it was right after that Fortes single. And all tied up at 3 before you know it. And top of the eighth, an inning later, Brian De La Cruz, a 2-run homer to make it 5-3 in Miami. That's all they would really need. Bottom of the eighth, Castellanos. Nick Castellanos with an RBI double. Bryson Stott would score 5-4 Miami. And bottom of the ninth, the Phillies did have runners on first and second for Alec Boehm, who would then ground into a double play, and that's really, you know, that's kind of the story of this ball game as well. Even though the Phillies, it's not like there was no offense in this game, but one for nine runners in scoring position, and Alec Boehm grounding into this double play, kind of just feeding into that runners in scoring position where they were one for nine again. And then Bryson Stott strikes out on a foul tip to end the game. 5-4, Marlins win. Phils had opportunities to win this series. You had opportunities in this game. Again, one for nine runs in scoring position. You know, there have been points this year where the Phillies were really bad with runs in scoring position. I remember a couple of months ago checking, like, they were bottom five. They've been better, but not this series. This series where they weren't absolutely horrible overall, but they weren't great, and I think that was a big difference in why the Marlins will win this series. As in two of these games, you know, the Phils go game one, I believe it was game one, run for nine, and then game three, one for nine, runs in scoring position. Not good. 2-for-18 overall. That's not good. That's not good. So, I mean, I'm not a huge believer in, I'm not going to say I'm not a huge believer in batting average, but, you know, I don't value as much as I used to. And but batting average with runners in scoring position, definitely important, because, you know, you get a hit with somebody in scoring position, they're 99 times out of 10, they're going to score. So not good. So the Phils, they had their opportunities in this series. Somehow, you know, Aaron Nola has a mediocre outing, and that's when they win that game. But Friday and today, they had their opportunities to win these games. And it's not like the pitching was horrible. Okay, like, I mean, yeah, today, Sir Anthony, not great. Ranger, you know, gives up three runs eventually, but Ranger was good. Like, you can't blame it on Ranger. Yeah, Sir Anthony probably doesn't give up that two-run homer. It's a solid win, but it, you know, it is what it is. So my game takeaways. Number one, Ranger Suarez. Ranger Suarez, career high 10 strikeouts. I mean, look, my mother's at this game. My mother was with my family at this game. I'm producing the game at WPHT for the Phils, as you know, the Eagles were playing over here on WIP, so we had the game on PHT. I'm producing the game. My mom's at the game with the rest of my family. I'm thinking, my mom's going to witness a no-hitter. My family's going to witness a no-hitter. I'm going to produce a no-hitter. This is going to be the ultimate history, you know, personally, of course, selfishly, and or just for everybody else, too. You know, coming off the Michael Lorenzen no-hitter, which was what? Like literally just over a month ago, would have been insane. But Ranger doesn't do it, and you know that's how it goes sometimes. Most of the time, it's how it goes. Guys, you know, carry no hitters into late in the games, and most of the time, it gets broken up. But Ranger, at the end of the day, still career high 10 strikeouts. It's important for him. You know, he has a good game, and for me, it's looking at this way is, okay, even though they lost this game today, it's important for Ranger to look good heading into the postseason. I don't know what they're going to do with him as far as the rotation goes, or if he's going to, you know, stay in the bullpen, or if they're going to move him to the bullpen, but either way, I think it's important to see this type of outing from him today, especially coming off the injury. Because at first, coming off the first injury he had in the WBC, he wasn't, you know, really that all that great out the gate. But this time, he looks good. You know, coming off the Milwaukee start, and now I like it. I like what I see from Ranger, and that's a huge positive that you can take away. It's important for him to shape into form heading into the postseason. Takeaway number two, and this might not be, like, super popular with Phillies fans right now, but Sir Anthony back-to-back appearances where big reasons why they lost this game. I thought Friday night it was more about the offense. I thought today was somewhat about the offense, but it was more on Sir Anthony giving up the two-run homer. But I want to say this. There's like people out there that's saying, oh, he should go down to AAA Lehigh Valley, this and that. Like, I know Sir Anthony hasn't been great as of late, and his stuff doesn't look like amazing. But, like, dude, he still had an ERA under one in August. And I know he's been bad in September. I don't know what it is that we like to do as Philadelphia fans where we just, like, pick certain guys or whomever and we say, oh, well, they need to do this. They need to do that. Like, Sir Anthony hasn't been, I mean, he hasn't been great, but he hasn't been horrific all year long. Like, he's kind of been up and down this year, but like overall, he's been just like okay if you're looking at the overall numbers. And I know it's not like, it doesn't feel great right now, but he had a bad September. And I noticed that John Solon has put this out on Twitter. He had a bad September last year, but then was incredible in October. Like, where this bullpen's at right now, I like the overall depth. I like their overall bullpen right now. And I know that people complain. It's like game to game. It's the bullpen's great and the bullpen's not great. Like, everyone, you know, people are on right now where the bullpen sucks. When it's like, okay, like, let's just relax. Let's take a chill pill. Okay, like, Sir Anthony hasn't been great. But look, last year, 142 ERA in August last year, 1157 ERA in September 2022, but then a 169 ERA in the postseason. Chill out. Chill the heck out. It's not as deep as you think it is. Like, it's we latch onto these narratives as fans, and then we run with it. Okay, let's just chill out. Let's look at the numbers overall, and let's it feels like everyone right now, it's like every time Sir Anthony has a bad outing right now that we need to send him down to Lehigh Valley. Like, I don't think that's the answer. I think, I know he hasn't been great as of late, but let's not overblow this, okay? So Sir Anthony, not a great appearance, and he was a big reason why they lost this game. But it's not all because of him. You know, the runners in scoring position, they're still 1-for-9 today. So the offense could have been a little better. I know we probably would still be picking on Sir Anthony. But at the end of the day, I think we need to chill out with the Sir Anthony thing. And the last takeaway was the runners in scoring position. I've already talked about this. But you need to be better with runners in scoring position, especially heading into the postseason. Because that's where hitting the baseball really matters, is when you have those chances to score. And there, it's, you know, especially in the postseason, like, you need, every game is important, every at bat, every inning is important, so it's super important. So running the scoring position, my last thing. Series takeaways, and it literally floods right over from running the scoring position, from the game takeaway into the series takeaway. Runners in scoring position for the series: game 1, 1-for-9. Game 2, 3-for-7. Not bad. That's pretty good, actually. Game 3, 1-for-9. Again, 5-for-25 overall, 250 average. Could be worse. Could be worse, but also not great. Definitely thought it was a factor into them losing the series and the opportunities to lose the series. It seemed like game 1, it was more about like, oh, well, Christopher Sanchez was, you know, was pulled early, and it's Sir Anthony and this and that. I get it. Those are probably some good takes, but it seemed like people just forgot about the offense only scored 2 runs on Friday night, and the runners in scoring position, more of an important thing for me. When you only score 2 runs, you need to give your pitching a little more run support. I know Sir Anthony, you know, gives up the home run, and Christopher Sanchez had a good outing, but let's be honest, your offense needs to give you a little more run support. So I just think overall, from today and Friday night, I've already mentioned this, but that's, I thought, one of the first takeaways, I thought, of runner scoring position. I thought it was important. Second takeaway, and I'm not going to beat the dead horse. All I'm going to say is my thing on Aaron Nola right now, as frustrating as he's been this year, I'm concerned going into the postseason now. Because last year, again, remember Aaron Nola finished top 5 in Cy Young voting last year? Like, Aaron Nola was good last year. Aaron Nola was really good. This year, he's not been good. He's been below average overall. And I'm concerned about Aaron Nola. And it's more about, like, you know, the big blow-up innings that he's been having. Like, that's the issue. And, I mean, you're really going to be asking a lot of your offense in these postseason games that he's pitching. I still want him on the mound. I know it's crazy as it sounds, as much as I'm being negative on Aaron Nola, I still want him on the mound in the postseason. I know that sounds crazy. But at the same time, I can't tell you I'm not concerned. I can't tell you that I'm not concerned about these blow-ups in these certain innings. But I still have to go with with the guy that's supposed to be a superstar pitcher. I can't not do that in the postseason. All I'm saying is that I'm really frustrated and I am concerned going into the postseason. That doesn't mean that I'm sitting him and starting Christopher Sanchez or Aaron Nola. We're not doing that. We're not going to do that. But these blow up innings where he what the four run inning on in the fifth on Friday night. Saturday night, even though they still won that game. Concerning. And third thing, and I've already kind of picked at this, not super worried about the bullpen. I still like the depth they had this year, and like looking back last year in the, you know, the bullpen, they really only did it with, what, Seranthony, Alvarado, maybe Robertson. Robertson was kind of shaky at something, you know, in the postseason, I think. I forget. I haven't looked at his numbers. And Eflin, right? Like, and it's always like recency bias. I get it. But at the same time, like going into the postseason this year, think about all the options you have. And I know it's no one's, not everyone's going to be Mariano Rivera, okay? Like, Strom overall has been good this year. Soto, as it stands right now, hasn't looked all that great. But, you know, Soto's been an all-star in the past. And he's had times this year where he has looked really good. Alvarado, like, I still trust Alvarado going into the postseason. I know it sounds crazy. Kimbrel, shaky at times this year, but overall still good. Hoffman has been great this year. And then, again, you're going to add a couple of guys from the rotation to the bullpen. So, like, remember that. I know there's been times where Seranthony giving up the two runs and the two runs on Friday and Sunday, but I still like the bullpen going into the postseason. I know we're microscoping every single little thing. That's what we do as fans. I get it. But I'm not super worried about the bullpen going into the postseason. So those are my series takeaways from this weekend. Runners in scoring position, Aaron Nola. Not super worried about the bullpen. You know, coming off this 2-3, losing 2-3 to Miami, would have liked to take 2-3, but it's not the end of the world. Still first in the wild card standings. And now we move to the Atlanta Bravos. Four-game set with the Braves. You have your doubleheader tomorrow. Game one starts at 1:05. Taijuan Walker will take the mound versus Charlie Morton. Game two will be at 6:40. That'll be Kyle Wright and Michael Lorenzen. Game three, Tuesday at 6:40. It will be Max Fried and Zach Wheeler. A little rubber match there, man. Woof. Fried and Zach Wheeler hopefully will be a fun pitcher's duel that will end in the, you know, Phillies winning that game. Spencer Strider and Christopher Sanchez. Strider, a lot of intriguing matchups here, man. I mean, the Braves, by the way, the Braves did clinch a postseason spot today with a W against the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Braves are just really, at this point, they're just trying to stay on the steady plane and has some momentum going into the postseason. As they try to not do what they did last year, but hopefully the Phillies can do that again if they do face them in the postseason, what they did last year in 2022 in the NLDS. And then Wednesday, like I said, Strider versus Christopher Sanchez. So the Phillies will face Kyle Wright in game two tomorrow. And Kyle Wright's first start since May. He's been out with that shoulder injury. So we'll see how Kyle Wright looks for the Braves. You know, all I'm looking for this series, I'd like to take 3 or 4. I mean, split at the very least. Again, I'm about winning series right now. I'm really about winning series. Please win series. Okay? That's what I want. Win the frickin' series. All right? The Braves, I mean, just across the board. Offense is literally first in average. On base percentage, home runs, runs scored, and OPS. They're like ninth in stolen bases, thanks to Ronald Acuna Jr. Seriously. but, I mean, the Braves' offense is utterly incredible. From Acuna to Austin Riley to Matt Olson, they have just been unbelievable this year. So if you're the Phils, at least take 2 of 2, at least split. If not, let's take 3 of 4. Let's take advantage of maybe the Braves, slow down a little bit just because they finally clinched postseason berth. But, I mean, they've been incredible this year. And also besides the offense, starting pitching, 10th in ERA, relief pitching, 2nd in ERA. So, I mean, they're just stacked all the way across the board. So that's your series against the Braves coming up. Looking forward to it. Hopefully we don't deal with a Braves team that is just too overmatched, too good for the Phils. But, you know, the Phils, let's keep it going here, okay? I mean, yes, we lost 2-3 to the Marlins, but let's get back on track. All right, so that's your series preview against the Atlanta Braves. Around the league, and as it stands, like I let you guys know earlier, Phil 78-64, they had that first wild card spot. Chicago Cubs 77-67 in that second wild card spot. They won today against Arizona in Wrigley. And then also in that wild card race, you have Arizona, who I just mentioned lost today, 75-69, retained that third wild card spot. Then Miami, half game back. They just won 2-3 against the Fightins, right behind Arizona. Cincinnati, 74-71, a game and a half back. San Fran, 2 back. San Diego, 8 back. And then you got a bunch of teams that aren't going to do anything. So then, just to end the show here, I don't know what to do with this news. I think it would be pretty cool to see Rhys Hoskins come back in the postseason, kind of like Kyle Schwarber did for the Chicago Cubs in 2016, as Schwarber was hurt, but then came back in the postseason and helped the Cubs win their first World Series title since 1908 or whatever it was. Hopefully, Rhys Hoskins could potentially be that for the Phils. I mean, how awesome would that be? I don't know if Rhys Hoskins has played his last game as a Philly. I love Rhys. I really do. I don't want Rhys to go, but who knows what's going to happen as far as roster wise. I don't know what's going to happen going into next year, but an update on Rhys. Anyway, as I'm saying this, an update on Rhys. So he's been doing T work and taking tri swings. That's according to Phillies.com. You know, he's been dealt with a torn left ACL that he injured in spring training earlier this season. In spring training. So this is according to Destiny Legardo on Twitter. And I'm not calling it X. It's staying with Twitter. I'm never calling it X. Today's Rhys Hoskins update, according to Destiny Legardo on Twitter, the great Phillies beat writer. He's hitting off a tee and taking dry swings. He's also doing some running and changing direction. It will be, quote, a little bit before he starts to do soft toss and batting practice in the cages. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't hurt to, you know, have Rhys in the postseason. I don't know what they would, I guess, do with him. I mean, coming off the bench, that'd be weird, right? But, I mean, if Bryce plays first, then who is in the outfield? Would it be Marsh, Castellanos, Rojas? I mean, I don't know. Like, but Rhys is such a good bat. He's been so great as a Philly. You know, offensively. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what people were going to say about his defense, but I mean, they almost won the World Series with him last year. They almost beat the mighty Houston Astros. But that's your update on Rhys Hoskins as he's been dealing with left torn ACL this year. So that's your update on the big fella. So that's going to do it for me, Francisco Rojas. I'm looking forward to this series against Atlanta, and then after Atlanta, it will be, I believe it will be at St. Louis because they were just here. So, yeah, it's going to be at St. Louis and then back to out in Atlanta. So, it's a little road trip after that. So, four games set here with the Braves. Day off on Thursday. Then a weekend series at St. Louis. Then at Atlanta for three games. And then a couple more series before the season's over. Before the Mets, the Pirates, and then back out in Flushing to face the Mets to end the 2023 season. So do it for me. Get it split at the least, but take three or four. That's going to do it for me, Francisco Rojas, and I'll talk to you guys very soon.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.